Blessed Assurance and welcome to Kingdom Christian Fellowship, KCF. We reveal the reality of the Kingdom of God and Christ Jesus in the lives of people all over the world. As you listen to this message, we pray that you are blessed and inspired to improve your relevance in the Kingdom of God.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11, I'm reading from the Amplified verse, says that therefore, since we know the fear of the Lord and understand the importance of obedience and worship, we pursue people to be reconciled to him, but we are plainly known to God. He knows everything about us, and I hope that we are plainly known also in your conscience, your God-given discernment. Let me look for another translation. Contemporary English verse says that we know what it means to respect the Lord, and we encourage everyone to turn to him. God himself knows what we are, what we are like. And I hope you also know what kind of people we are. Let's go for one more translation. NET says that, therefore, because we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade men. But we are all well known to God. And I hope we are well known to your conscience too. You see, I'm thinking about the fear. So it's going to be the fear of the Lord, right? Part one. That's all. The fear of the Lord, part one. If you look, follow through, fine. You see, there was a time when Christians, right, were known as God-fearing people. Anytime, like, they call the God-fearing people. But I think somewhere along the line, right now, you don't really hear that thing again. Because I don't know whether people have, in fact, right now, people don't fear the Lord. Like, it's not there. You only hear them say, oh, I'm a Christian. And if you look at that person's life, they are living just like their unbeliever is living. Most Christians, you see, and they always attribute this thing to grace. But the grace of God doesn't teach us that. Grace teaches us to do what? In grace, you are supposed to be even responsible. Grace teaches us. So how come say that because of grace, we are not under the law, we are not supposed to have respect or have a reverential fear for our Lord? What is the fear of God? What is the fear of God? What is the fear of God? I define this, I said, I wrote down three things. It's reverential awe. The fear of the Lord is basically reverential awe. Reverential awe. Awe is A-W-E. I think I'm pronouncing right. A-W-E. If you look at the dictionary, it defines awe as an emotion. Let's take note of this one. It says, it's an emotion in which dread, veneration, and wonder are variously what mingled. See, they say it's an emotion with dread, veneration, and wonder are variously mingled. 2, submissive and admiring fear, inspired by authority. Submissive and admiring, inspired by authority. The term say a fearful reverence inspired by deity. You can a fearful reverence inspired by deity. You can easily see that then. You can easily see that depending on the situation and the object of awe, it could include the emotions of fear or dread, respect or reverence, admiration and amazement. If you look at the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 10, you read later, say that Adam sinned and he was afraid. In Adam's situation, it would have been the height of self-respect not to be afraid. Because it's like your father told you, your mother told you not to do something. Let's say your father told you that, okay, don't touch the car. He said, oh, don't touch. Maybe your father has a Mercedes Benz Maybach. Then he said, Adun, don't touch the car. Okay, I'm going to Accra. I'll be back. Don't use the car. But you know that the car keys are here. Then Adun went to take the car because he wanted to impress certain people in town. Took the car, bam. And the car had an accident. The car didn't spoil, but let's say book in one of the headlights. Tell me what you do. What if you fear your father, you'll be shaking because you've disrespected one, his authority. Two, you've disobeyed what he said. You would be afraid. If you're not afraid, know that you don't fear your father. Yes, you love your dad, but so far as you're broken, you've done something which he told you not to do. So that thing will be there. If you don't have that fear, you know that what you don't respect him. Genesis 3:10. Genesis 3:10. Read it and let's go. Genesis 3 verse 10. Read it and let's go. Genesis 3:10. Quickly.
Genesis 3:10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I
I
hid
was naked.
myself.
Mercy. Mercy. Paul was describing the abject depravity to which human race had fallen. You see, it was, and he said that in Romans 3, he said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. He said, there is no fear. Come to Romans 3, verse 8, he said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. People were neither in awe of God nor afraid of his judgment. They acted as if there's no God, no one to whom they were accountable to for their conduct, no one who had the power to bring them into judgment for their sins. Come to Romans 3, verse 18. When I saw it, I was shocked. He said, there is no fear of God before their eyes.
Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes.
He said, there's, and you see, guys, he said, there's no fear of God before their eyes. This is lack of fear towards God in the sense of being afraid of his judgment. And I think that that is the root of wickedness. Anybody who is not afraid of the judgment of God will be a wicked person. Anybody, because to everything, know that talent at least. One day there's going to be a judgment. Whether it's going to be before the Bema Seat judgment, whatever it is, there's going to be a judgment for you. So at least that fear should be there. If that fear should keep you from being being perpetrating wickedness, but remember that anybody who is wicked does have the fear of the Lord. Let's look at how Moses described Pharaoh. Moses said to Pharaoh, said, Pharaoh was speaking to Moses, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I should obey him and let Israel go. He said, I don't know the Lord and I will not let Israel go. Exodus 5, verse 2. He said, Pharaoh was neither in awe of God nor afraid of his judgment. Even after the Egyptians had suffered through seven of ten plagues. Tell Exodus 5, to quickly. If I mention the scripture, let's read the scripture. Exodus 5, verse 2. He said,
Exodus.
who? Yes, read it.
And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.
He said, I do not. So it's like telling he was neither in awe of God nor after, nor he was neither in awe of God nor afraid of his judgment. He didn't even care. The three persons say, Ombushi. Even after Jesus has suffered seven plagues, so the guy didn't even care. Moses said to him, he said, but I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. Exodus 9, verse 30. In spite, you see, in spite. Of overwhelming evidence of God's power, he should have said. So he persisted in his pride and presumptions. Exodus 9, verse 30. Look at what Exodus 9, 30. Quickly, Exodus 9, 30.
Exodus 9:30. But as for
Yeah.
you and your servants, I know that
Oh,
you will not yet fear the Lord God.
never, never. So have you seen? So there's always, you see, so from the Bible, there's always a link between the lack of fear of God with sinful conduct. It is there like that. So anytime you see that people are wallowing in sin, people are happy to commit sin. You know that one. They don't fear God too, and they don't care about his judgment. But if there's really the fear of God in the life of people in a particular locality, people of God, do you know that Charlie, the one day there's judgment. The first time the fear of God was used by Abraham to Abimelech, Genesis 20, Genesis 20, verse 10. Genesis 20, verse 10. Abraham lied to Abimelech when Abraham asked him, "Oh, is Sarah your wife?" He said, "No, he's my sister." God, like Abraham was, Abraham, Abimelech wanted to know why he said, and he said that, he said that, "I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place. They will kill me because of my wife." That's Genesis 20, verse 10 to 11. Am I going to read Genesis 20, verse 10 to 11?
Genesis 20, verse 10 to 11.
Yeah.
Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they
Wow.
will kill me on account of my wife."
Yes, so it means that because they don't have the fear of the Lord, they can easily kill people and take people's wife. So look at your society, look at your house, look at your neighborhood, look at the amount of, in fact, look at you now, your life, that the way you are, the way you break the Lord's command, right? The way you respect God in your attitude. Do you have the fear of the Lord? The way you go about your duties, the way you go, if it, the way you even come before him in worship, you subsequently get to know, do you come before him in worship? Do you have the fear of the Lord? The way you do your act in church, the way you behave on campus, the way you behave in your workplace, do you have the fear of the Lord? The way you talk to your neighbor or your friend, your roommate, your coursemate, your work colleague, does it show that you have the fear of the Lord? In our society now, we are our denial of objective moral standards, our morality is based upon society's consensus instead of God's word. Right now, God's word has relegated. Society is the one defining what good is, what bad is, what a woman should be like, what a man should be like, and the word of God has been placed under some hole be somewhere. Now our standards are the world. If the world says that, oh, a man is a donkey, then that's what everybody will say a man is. If the world says that a woman is a cat, that's what everyone, yes, the one is a cat, but they can't. You see, it's like right now we are living in our own world, forgetting the things of God, forgetting the rules and regulations of God, forgetting the commandments of God, and we take a pen and we've taken how do you call it, a stone, and we've carved out our own laws. So it means that you can come to Accra, you believe living by different sets of rules, and I can go to Kumasi, and you have different set of rules altogether. So therefore, America is telling us that a person can get up and say that he's a sheep. And everyone will say yes, and yet nobody can say that no, you're not a sheep. Because as soon as you say that, society will cancel you. They'll cancel, hey, no, you are wrong. You are not, you are not tolerant. And nobody can say what you're doing is foolishness. Oh, yes, oh, yes, it is true. It is true. Right now, a person can become a transformer, Decepticon the other guys, all robots. Is it all robot or whatever? All robot. How do you call them? They are the Decepticons. They are deceiving everybody now. Based on what? Society. So who is God that I should obey him? Like Pharaoh. Like Pharaoh. Our society is neither in awe of God nor afraid of his judgment. They don't care. If you speak about judgment, they don't say, "Hey, you are preaching the law. Hey, you are preaching the law." I'm like, "Tell me, guys, There is judgment after here. Whether you will be in hellfire judgment or you're going to be by the mercy judgment, your work will be judged as a Christian. And if you are not saved, you'll be judged. Whether you like it or not, it is there like that. Do you fear the Lord? Ask your neighbor, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, right, were killed instantly for offering unauthorized fire before the Lord. God, their God, you see, let me tell you something. Our God, who is a loving father, that same man, right, that same, not that same man, that same person who created the heavens and the earth, and says that he's going to create a place for you. This same father has created a place called hell. If you don't know what I'm telling you. This simple has created a place called hell. You see, you think that God, let me tell you, God is not afraid of you. Okay. God is not afraid. He created you. So he has the power to also judge you. If you don't understand, right, that's between you. That's between you and yourself. You better understand now. He is what? He is Lord. He's a sovereign person. It's high time, you see, it's high time you give him that honor, that he's God. He does what he likes, not what you like. No, so you can't tell, why should I kill for disrespecting me? Why should you not? When you destroy your father, who's your father beat you? And he has given you, said, Lord, do this. Say, me, I don't do it. I beg to differ. Please. Even at church grapple, you can't tell your boss that you beg to differ in your school. How much more you can tell God that? So Abihu, Nadab and Abihu, everyone's children, know, they offer grain sacrifice. Fire consumed them one time. Uzzah was struck down by the Lord for touching the ark of God. And you see, the thing was falling down. He died instantly. And Ananias and Sapphira died for lying to the apostles and the Holy Spirit one time. So anytime you see that, oh my God, God will not kill you. Fine. Maybe those days it was instant, but now, right now, maybe it will be a gradual something. It will be there. Small. Things are not working for you. Small. They'll close this door. Small. Things will happen for you. You know that something's happening. Because you cannot get up and insult. Have mercy on us. Jesus. The fear, the Bible says that, let's look at something. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's another aspect. It says that Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Have you seen it? Proverbs 9, chapter 10 says, yes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom are not the same, though they are closely related. We might describe wisdom as the best application and use of the knowledge we have. Okay, so I want us to consider the beginning of knowledge before we look at the beginning of wisdom. Okay, so let's look at Proverbs 1, verse 7. It reads in full that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Do you understand? I said fools despise wisdom and discipline. Knowledge as used here is more than an accumulation of information. It involves the ability to view that information with the right perspective and to use it for its proper end. Paul, for example, right, speaks of knowledge that pops up, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And as well as knowledge, that's what leads to godliness. That's Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Only the last one has the right perspective and power. That's the Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Has the right perspective and proper end in mind. Let me give you an example. Two people, right, may possess essentially the same knowledge in the sense of a body of facts, right? One person views this knowledge as a means of acquiring positions, power, or possessions, and use it to that end. The other person, right, sees it as a gift from God. and as a stewardship to be used to serve him. Do you understand? Solomon says that someone says that knowledge begins not in learning a body of information or in acquiring various skills, but in the fear of the Lord. He's saying that the fear of God must be the foundation upon which our knowledge is built. It is the fear of the Lord that gives us the righteous perspective. That is the right perspective and prompts us to use it for the right end. It is the fear of the Lord that should determine our fundamental outlook on life. Our main goal in life should do what? To glorify God. Do you understand? That is the ultimate goal to which all knowledge should be directed. Regardless of your regardless of how helpful an item or body of knowledge may be to society, if it does not have as its final purpose the glory of God, it is what? It is defective. I'm telling you. It is what? Defective. Are we, guys, here's what I'm saying.
Yes,
Jesus,
please.
Yes. Jesus said something, right? He said, now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17:3. John said, what? That they may know you. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Listen, in right here, this is where true knowledge begins. The person who knows God and fears him possesses something more valuable than all the combined knowledge of philosophy and science put together. I take it again. I say what? The person who knows God and fears him possesses something more valuable than all the combined knowledge of philosophy and science put together. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you something. The scientists, right? The philosopher, the socialists, whoever it is, they may discover ways to improve this life. They may discover ways to improve your life. But the Christian has found the way to eternal life. I'm telling you, I repeat, the scientists and the philosopher, the scientists and the psychologists, whoever they are, they may discover ways to improve this life. But the Christian has found the way to eternal life. What I'm saying is that the Christian knowledge, which is more valuable, was attested by Christ when he said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Child of God. Or what can a man give in essence for his soul? Do you understand? Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at wisdom. Let's look at wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says that what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You can see that from the above. So you see that there's still a connection between what wisdom and knowledge. Both Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 and 9 and 10 uses what both words. Since wisdom is what knowledge applied to the right end. Knowledge realizes its purpose only in conjunction with wisdom. I say what? Knowledge realizes its purpose only in conjunction with wisdom. Wisdom is commonly defined as what? Good judgment, or the ability to develop the best course of action in response to a given situation. Do you understand, people of God? Quickly. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Exodus 12, verse 13. Father grace. Exodus 12, verse 13. Quickly. Thank you.
Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13.
Yeah.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all.
Oh, God. Thank you. Say what? This is the conclusion of the matter. Man, we'll take it again. Say, fear God and keep his commandments, for what? This is what the whole duty of man. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, I've read it already. If you look at, you see, there are three guys in the Bible. David, Solomon, and Job. These three guys. We've read Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Read Job 28, verse 28. Job 20, 28. Job 28, verse 28.
Job 28, verse 28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.
Understand. Job is the one saying that too. Look at Psalm 101, Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. Look what he says there.
Psalm 111, verse 10. The
Yes.
fear of the
It's
Lord is the beginning of
the beginning
wisdom.
of wisdom. So you see that if you take Proverbs chapter 9, if you read Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, Job 20, verse 20, and Psalm 111, verse 10, they were all saying the same, basically the same thing. These three guys, Solomon, Job, and David, these guys were not ordinary guys. These were men of influence, men of power, men of authority during their days. And they were all saying the same thing. All three men had influence. They said the same thing. So it means that, listen, if you want to be a person of influence, if you want to be a person of stature, what do you do? Follow person who know root. Follow person what who know root. That's what you both say, right? Follow person who know root. These people had the fear of the Lord in them. So if you, a young boy, you say you not fear the Lord, every day I beg to differ. Every day I beg to differ. Every day, let me tell you something. If you find yourself questioning the things of God, if you find yourself questioning the commands of God, know that you don't fear Him. That's are not commit adultery. Oh God, you understand? I'm a youth right now. Crap, they say that you are explaining. They are finding excuses. Know that you don't have the fear of the Lord. They said, don't do this. Oh God, you know. And I can't say I'll not drink. I can't say I'll not drink. I went, they said this one, it is 1%. It's 2%. Right now you are at percentage, ratio and proportion. Actually, it doesn't matter. Wisdom per perhaps is that say what? See, wisdom is God Himself. Right? Proverbs chapter 8, 20 to 20, 25. Read Proverbs chapter 8, 20, 22 to 25 from Proverbs 8, 20, 25.
Proverbs 8:22 to 25.
Yeah.
The Lord possesses me at the beginning of His way,
That's
before
wisdom
His works.
talking. Wait. If you read from the beginning, you understand. But I've just kept wisdom is talking now. Remember, wisdom is God Himself. But wisdom is talking. Man of God, read 20 to 25 quickly.
23. I have been
Yes.
established from everlasting, from the
That's right.
beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no
Jesus.
fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Powerful. You see, wisdom was in the beginning, but you see, by the fear of the Lord begins wisdom. Wisdom was in the beginning of God, but you see, the guy said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what wisdom. So that the fear of the Lord is really important because it is the beginning of wisdom. So without it, then you will be a fool, basically. Without the fear of the Lord, even though wisdom was there, if you have the fear, you can't possess it. Even though it is there, you cannot possess it. God will also say, Isaiah, let's do something. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 2. Quickly, Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2.
Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 2. There
Yeah.
shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a
Jesus.
branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit
Oh.
of wisdom and
So,
understanding.
wait, this one, yes. So, these are the same spirit of God. It said, the spirit of the Lord. The spirit, it said, the spirit of the Lord. And goes on to mention the other spirit. Pay attention to it. Okay.
The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and
Right.
understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the
Yes.
spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
So you mean that
Amen.
without so remember it was working in pairs. Look, if you look at it, it's only the spirit of So it's not the spirit of the Lord that was just there alone, but all the other others, they were just like in pairs. Look, I said, should be that word. Said the spirit of the fear of the Lord, of the Lord. So that without the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you cannot have knowledge. Do you understand? You that if you have the fear of the Lord, child of God, you cannot have knowledge. You can open the Bible. Eh? You can open the Bible. You can open the Bible. Oh, I don't understand. It's like I'm reading She's by the Hand. Like I'm reading Goosebumps. If I Goosebumps, I find out something you can even understand. But you can't tell them, when I read the Bible, I don't understand. Because you don't fear God. Why should he open? Let's are trying to get close to a girl. This girl now, you know, they see himself. You know, they see the girl. If you think and you treat the girl badly, do you think the girl will open up to you? You say, oh, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know. Get you are treating the girl badly. Do you think the girl will open herself for you to know her? No. She will not even mind you in the first place. But if you treat her nice, she will tell you what her favorite bag is. To tell you the favorite name of the favorite dog. Tell her, okay, this is my favorite pet. I call it Yamiche, or I call it or Gypsy. She will tell you. Instead of every day, I don't know you. She will not even mind you in the first place. So you see, the reason why you don't understand God, you don't understand things, you don't understand His word because of you don't feel so what He has closed Himself from you. You call it that, oh, let your mighty power come down. You can sing all those songs, and God is still far away from you because you don't fear Him. Quickly, what does the fear of the Lord do? What does the fear of the Lord do for you? If you say you fear the Lord, what are the things that happen to you as a result of that fear? Quickly, let's get some few things. One, say that what? It is the beginning of wisdom. So I say, if you fear the Lord, you'll be wise. The reason why you are a fool, or the reason you'll be described as a fool. You see, a fool is someone who doesn't respect God. A fool is someone who doesn't acknowledge that God is. A fool is someone who doesn't respect the judgment and the presence of God. That person is a fool. Simply put. Two, it is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. You know that, right? Let's get a third one. It leads to obedience. If you what does the fear of the Lord do for you? So I've mentioned one. I said what? You it's the beginning of wisdom. Two, it's also the beginning of knowledge. Three, it leads to obedience. Yes, that two. James 22 verse 12. Read for us. James 22 verse 12. James 22 verse 12.
This is 22 verse 12.
Verse 12, yes.
And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son.
So you mean that if you don't, you see, so you mean that the fear of the Lord is you obeying God. So that if the reason why, you see, This is why a child of God or somebody will not obey the things of God, the things of God is because you don't fear Him. You don't fear Him. Simply put, you don't fear Him. So the fear of the Lord leads to what obedience, like we saw in the life of Abraham. He said, you've not withheld your only son from me. He said, I now know that you fear me. I now know that you fear me. He said, give me your son. And the guy didn't give Lot or Lot's children. He took his only begotten son to sacrifice. Because I now know that you fear. He said, I now know that you fear. So yeah, what the guy was doing earlier on, the guy was just speaking. The God had not seen what he was doing. So when he was that's when he goes, I now know that you fear. So if you want to show that you fear the Lord, start by obeying his word. Start by what? Obeying his word. Okay, two. What happens? It prolongs your days or life. Proverbs 10:10 said, read Proverbs 10:10 said, What does the fear of the Lord do? I said, well, it prolongs your days or life.
Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The
Yeah.
fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened.
Do you know why they get to the anytime you disobey the Lord of God? You see, let me give you an example. That same one. You are there following girls around. You are following Shaniqua, one person. You are following Shaquan, one person. You are following Shawanda, one person. Look at the girls that you are following. Do you think your life will be prolonged? One person is calling you. Where are you? You are lying. Oh, I've gone here, yet you are with this person. One person, are you not giving yourself a hypertension? Are you not giving yourself high blood pressure? Are you not giving yourself extreme disease? Are you not giving yourself diseases? So you are shortening your life. God said that every person is Adam to Eve. He said, no, I want Adam and Steve. I want it is Eve and every. It is Francis and Frank. You've changed the ways of things, and you think you live long. No, obviously not. Obviously not. Society is the one talking to you now, and instead of you being God, you said, no, let me take what let me take what Joe Biden is saying. Let me take what Trump is saying. Let me take what Akufo-Addo is saying. Let me take what Charlie. That's what we are doing now. And anytime we err from the ways of God, guys, we enter into trouble. Anytime we see the fear of the Lord in our lives, anytime we remove God and his fear from our life, and Charlie, we always enter into trouble. That's what happens to us. So, it means, I say, well, it prolongs your day. How is it that, you see, if you are living right, if you are living right, if you are doing what God tells you, attitude, you have long life. So look at these people, right? These people who are saying that they are changing the way of a woman. Now, don't be sleeping with men. Haven't you seen the whole lot of diseases that are surrounding that activity? Yet they do not talk about it too. How can you live long by doing those things? Do not live long. Do not live long because you are doing those things. Okay, so it prolongs what your days of life. Two, it produces strong confidence. Proverbs 14 verse 26. Proverbs 14 verse 26. Let's read it. Proverbs 14 verse 26.
Proverbs 14 verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge.
Said there's strong confidence. Say a strong word. Strong confidence.
Strong confidence.
Yes. Strong confidence. Do you know why? You see, said it produces strong confidence. If you fear God, you will be at the right place, and you know what that God is with you. The reason why you don't have strong confidence is because, Charlie, you don't fear God. Every day, oh God, I'm sorry. Every day you go and do what God tells you not to do. So if they say pray for someone to grab, oh Charlie, oh, then we had it. I don't pray for that person. Oh, you then you are doing this, you are going around going to Charlie. Oh, you've gone to me attach somebody's daughter. You've gone to steal somebody something. You know, your life is passed. So you don't have confidence. Even when I put you God, you're even afraid. Yeah, God, Charlie, what am I getting? Grace is there, but you know, deep within you are not settled. You are like, you are like the sea. You are not settled. You are turbulent soul. But look at the sea that you are in tune and sing with God. You know that you are obeying God's voice. You are doing everything. Charlie, you have confidence. It is there. It is there. It is there. And if those that you misbehave, tell them. That's where you even hide, crap. That's where you even hide. Faith one, what am I we on? Is this faith one? Faith one, it is the source of life. Proverbs 14, verse 27 is the source of life. Proverbs 14, verse 27, read it. Proverbs 14, verse 27.
Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord
Yes.
is the fountain of life.
It's the
To
fountain of
turn
life. To do what?
one away from the snares of
Turn one
death.
from the snare of God. To turn one away from the snares of death. Does it? Seven is the source of riches and honor. Is the source of riches and honor and life. Proverbs 22, verse 4. The importance of fearing God. This is the same way. It's the source of riches and honor. Proverbs 22, verse 4. I'm going to read that. Let's go.
Proverbs 22, verse 4. But humility and the fear of the Lord are riches
Ow.
and honor and life.
Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. I didn't hear you.
But humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life.
And life. Three things. So, say what? Riches, honor, and life. If you fear God, riches, honor, and life. Say, I'll decide to fear God. Say, I'll decide from today, I'll decide to fear the Lord. I'll decide. Whoever you say it to, I'll decide to fear the Lord.
Decide to fear the Lord.
Yes, guys. Decide to fear you. Decide to fear you. Decide to fear. He said, I will show you who you should fear. So that scripture is dangerous. It's dangerous. He said, let me see if I can find it. What is it? Again, fear the one who can, who is able to kill you and send. Oh my God. Say, fear. I'm coming. Fear. Huh. He said, fear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, verse 28. He said, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Read it, read it. Man, read it from the Bible. Let them. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 28.
Yes.
And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul.
In other words,
but
don't
rather
fear
fear.
Don't fear Kufadu, but rather fear who?
But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Oh, both soul and body in hell. So fear, he said, don't fear men. Men, they can only kill your body today. But I fear the person who is able to what? Who is able to kill both soul and what? Soul and what?
Body in hell.
Body in hell. He can finish you. This is actual brutality and fatality. This one. Fear me. What are the things that should, you know, the lack of fear? Or what is that should that you don't fear God? You don't fear. Let me tell you, maybe you don't know. If you see that you are going, you know that you don't fear God. So look, these are signs. Signs that you don't fear God. Put it down. Signs that you don't fear God. If these are happening, right? Remember that you don't fear God. You don't fear God at all. Let's go first Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 15. Read it quickly. I'll take the point from that side. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 15. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 15. Quickly, read it quickly. Let's move.
First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 15.
Yeah.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all
Yeah.
passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All is the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them.
So the first chop. Wait. So the first one, if you know that, if you say you are lasting after things, you have to know that you don't fear God. First point, you see, last you just sexual stuff. You are lasting after things. You see somebody's car, he said, I claim. See somebody's shoe, I claim. See somebody's bag, I see somebody's earring. I am speaking big English. I claim. I claim. Oh boy, you don't fear God. Man, we'll continue.
And do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. No, let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. No, let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. As some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry.
Flee from what? Idolatry. Oh my God. Oh my God, chuck. Let me take it. Say what? If you are lasting after evil things, oh my God. If you are lasting after, you see, some people say that, oh, when I was in the world, I had money, I had a lot of boys, I have a lot of girls. When I was in the world, I know that the fear of the Lord is being rooted from your life's most. When you start speaking like, oh, hey, well, you can see that and say, I miss beer. Hey! Oh, I miss this girl. Do you want to say, hey, let's keep that one. We'll keep the first verse and come to Psalm 106, verse 13 and 14. Let's go what they put. Psalm 106, verse 13 and 14.
Psalm 106, verse 13 and 14.
Yes.
They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lasted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert.
They lasted, look at the word, exceedingly in the, and tested what? God and his word. And his word.
In the wilderness.
And are you done?
Yeah. And tested God in the desert. That's verse 14.
In the desert. That's the 14. Verse. Come to, look at another one. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Numbers 11, verse 4.
Numbers 11, verse 4.
Yeah.
Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to
eat? Oh my God. Do you know what? This scripture is very deadly. You know what? They were craving after certain things. When they find things, do you know what? That God sent them the things they were craving for. God sent them meat. Look at when I said that. So wait. I said that. Let me know. I'll come there right now. Let's look at Numbers 11, verse 33. Look at something. Numbers 11, verse 33. Quickly. Numbers 11, verse 33. I'll finish right now.
Numbers
11, verse 33.
Numbers 11, 33. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed.
Chuck. And when I read the word, he said, all the meat was between their teeth. That if they were chicken, if they were chewing, they're chewing their drumstick, they had the thing holding it. Have you seen the way you hold the tie? It was in their teeth like this, chewing them. That's the picture. And we'll continue. Let's see what happens there.
Before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people.
Oh my God.
And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague.
Because of what craving, how can a human being say that you miss? I skipped that part. That one, that's an Exodus. He said, how can you miss? You are missing cucumber, garlic. Tell me, the garlic, what are you chewing it or what are you doing with the garlic? You are missing garlic. You are missing melon seeds. Melon. Hey! Look at something here. Someone will see that's 14 to 15. Someone will see that's 48 to 60, 15. Someone will see that's 14 to 15.
Psalm 106, verse 14 to 15.
Yeah.
But lasted exceedingly in the wilderness,
oh God,
and tested God in the desert.
Mm.
And he gave them their request,
Oh.
but sent leanness into their soul. Amen.
Sent what? Take this about craving and last time. Oh God, Abna has a long shoot with our stuff. Abuna has a flat shoe with our stuff. He said he gave. He gave to them, but he gave, he said, he gave, they became lean. They became what? Lean, 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 lean. Oh God, I want a husband. I want a thick, tall guy. I want a broad chested, a square jaw. What? I want a fair lady with long hair, a long hair, black. Everything, specs, full option. Then the, you get that girl, and now you are going lean. That girl's making you go lean, big lean. You are craving after things. I say that for you to know that way, you don't love God. No, you are lasting after you last. You are lasting after things. Two, idolatry, idolatry. Three, fornication and adultery. You start tempting God. You start tempting Him. You and remember, you are tempting Him. That's what it says in the book of First Corinthians 10, verse 25. Start tempting him, tempting Christ. Six, memory. 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 If you know that you are doing any of these things, you know that what the fear of the Lord is being taken, like it's gone, it's gone, it's gone out of you. If you do any of these, you know that Charlie, oh, Namino, Unsun. You only have a target to a Christian, but you, the fear of the Lord is not in you, it's not close to you at all. At all. You can read this verse in the message Bible. Read it in the message Bible, verse 11 and 12. Man, we'll go to read the verse 11 and 12. The first Corinthians chapter 10. Read verse 11 and 12 and let them see something.
First Corinthians chapter 10.
Yeah.
Verse 11 and 12, message
verse. Read the message Bible. Yeah.
These are all warning markers. Danger.
Read it
in
well.
Our history.
Start. See, I'm reading message Bible. First Corinthians 11. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12.
First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
These are all warning markers. Danger in our history books. Written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You are not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Amen.
Amen. Some people thought this verse was in the Bible, but it is there. It is staring at you, glaring at you. If in case you don't have it, it's in the message Bible. Copy it and send it to them. Maybe they don't see it. Copy it and send it to them. Danger. red danger. It is there for you. Listen. If any of these things is in your life, know that's what the Namino Unsuno. So what? Fornication, idolatry, adultery. Mention all. Stated it there. Cravings, last. Cravings. Small thing. Then, oh my God, I want to go back to Kwame. I miss Kwame. I miss Edmund. I miss you, Andrew. Oh, hey. Let me tell you something. Anything, anything, Listen, say, Father, I receive the fear of the Lord. Father, I receive the fear of the Lord. Anything by this is that I know that most of you fall. This is working your life. The fear of the Lord. Father, I receive the re-establish the fear of the Lord in my from today. I choose to fear God. I choose to fear God.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this, share it with someone and be an agent of impactful change for the kingdom of God. God bless you.